Hallelujah. Well, in Matthew chapter 4, the Lord said, let's go over to the other side. Let's cross to the other side of the lake. Matthew 4:35. Closer and closer. Mark, yeah. Well, it's written in your hearts. You all know it. Maybe we're supposed to preach out of Matthew. Let's go look and see what Matthew chapter 4 says.
I'm sure it's good.
We'll just run through the book. Hallelujah. I just want to talk because we started out the year, or ended up the year, anyway, talking about simplifying. And understanding that the Lord cares. He cares, He cares, He cares, He cares. If that is the foundation that we do everything off of, wait a minute, the Lord cares. When we're worried, the Lord cares. If we're going to get married, the Lord cares. If we're in any kind of danger, the Lord cares. Jordan and Jenny went to Atlanta to tour the Coca-Cola plant. And on the way back, they hit a chunk of ice on the road. And when they hit that chunk of ice, they knew they hit a chunk of ice. Didn't think much about it. No lights came on. No nothing came on the vehicle. Drove about 20 miles. They began to lose power. And the car quit. It's a brand new car. It should be just fine. Got it towed into the shop. Found out at the shop that the chunk of ice had popped a hole in the radiator, and the engine had overheated, and it was locked up. And, when he first said that the engine quit, I thought, well, that's great, it's in warranty, you know. But it seems to me that somewhere on a brand new car, there should at least be an idiot light that says that it's overheating. But nothing came on. It maybe has smart gauges, but nothing, you know. I mean, I hit a bird in Rachel's car. A flash came on and said, check engine. And, you know, so I'm going, wow, this is stupid. But anyway, so it turns out that, of course, insurance will cover it. But no matter what, God cares. He's getting ready to deploy. Doesn't really need the headache. That's okay. God cares. He'll take care of it. And that has to be what we understand in every circumstance. We can't allow the enemy to say, well, God must not care. Now, we know better. We know that God cares. And we would never act like we didn't think God cared, unless, of course, we were to fear, which says to God, you must not care, or you don't keep your promises. Well, now, wait a minute. How can that be? Well, it's just a simple fact. If Jesus says, fear not, for us to fear, then we're saying that He didn't know what he was talking about. Well, I was praying and I was saying to the Lord, you know, I want to get closer to you. And then I did. I asked him, I said, you know, is that a legitimate request? Since you dwell in me, maybe I need to change that, you know, that getting closer thing. Well, he reminded me of two things. He reminded me first of the fact that you can be holding on to someone and be very far away from them. You can be in the same room and be very distant from someone. And then he reminded me of the song of a long, long time ago that just came out in worship, I've got to get closer to you. And he said, that's a good song. Because it's a good desire. To desire to get closer. Yes, He dwells in us richly, but we can be distant from Him. He dwells in us and we can fear. He dwells in us and we can sin. You know, some people have taken the doctrine of you know, the perfection into a place where I can't sin anymore. It's the sin in me that sins. Hello? That just doesn't make sense when you really think about it. But there are some people that say, you know, once you've been sanctified, you no longer sin because it's not you that sins, it's the sin that's in you. And so you can't be blamed for your sin anymore. If someone starts thinking that, I suggest they get closer to God. And realize that, in fact, if we could not sin, he would not have said, if we sin, if we confess our sins, he forgives us. He hears us, forgives us, and cleanses us of our unrighteousness. And he was talking to Christians, so apparently we can have some unrighteousness in us. But obviously, the closer we get to him, the less rule and righteousness we'll have in our lives. The less likely we will be to sin. The less comfortable we will be with sinning. And the more distant we come from him, the more we can brush it off. It's not a big deal. I mean, really, everybody sins. I wouldn't want to be different. I mean, this is the attitude that some people could have, is that, you know, hey, we really don't have to be that close to God. Now, some people do. A minister should be pretty close to God. You know, and there's some other people that should maybe be pretty close to God, but it isn't really necessary for everybody to be close to God. Well, the question that I have for those people is, how's that working for you? Yes, some people think that they're doing just fine without God, but they're not living in reality. They're not really willing to check, how's that working for them? People become uncomfortable sometimes when somebody starts talking about being close to God and about loving God and about having Christ in them. Why would we become uncomfortable with such a thing? Why would someone's response to that sort of an attitude be, oh, you're one of them? You're one of those crazy people. You've been brainwashed by the Bible. Make it so, Lord, that I would be brainwashed by the Word of God. That I would be so attracted and so attached to the Word of God that I would not allow anything to exalt itself against what God says. That I would never give in, that I would never submit again to a bad attitude or to a temptation or to anything like that. That, boy, I would be perfect. Ah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? If we could just find a cabin somewhere to just stay in, away from everybody, why, we would stay close to God. Oh no. Have you ever stopped to think about how your mind gets to where it does when you start out talking to God? I mean, sometimes I'm praying and the next thing I know I'm going, God, how did I get there? It really seemed like when I started this direction that there was a purpose, but man, I am clear off somewhere else. And sometimes I will sit and I'll think, okay, how did I bounce to this? How did I get to this place? You know what? And it's just like, whoa, that's just crazy, man. But I mean, we can be right in His presence. We can be kneeling before Him. We can be worshiping, and all of a sudden, we're 1,000 miles away. Off in some worry, some thought, some desire, some something, you know. It's just like, how do we get there? I just got to get closer to you, Lord. Come running back, you know. I'm making my way back to you, Lord. I know that's not the actual words to the song, but it's a good thing. You see, all of those songs, you know, are great songs. Because they can be converted. And you can just hear the heart of people seeking God, you know. Why does the world go on turning? Never mind. I mean, how did we live without Him? We didn't think it was so bad until we started to figure out it was so bad. And then when we figured out it was so bad, somebody said, well, that's not so bad. And for a while, we thought, well, maybe it isn't so bad. Until finally, we figured out it was bad. Don't try to tell me it wasn't bad. It was bad without God. It was, I mean, honestly, if you want to do yourself a real favor, just imagine what you were without him. That will help you remember the pit that you were dug from. I mean, the pit of good enough, or better than some, those are bad pits, you know? Like, you know, I wasn't so bad. Oh man, Christians, never, ever, ever allow yourself to utter such heresy. I wasn't so bad. You were so bad. Without Christ, you were so bad. You can still be pretty bad with Christ. Now the thing is now sometimes we can recognize being bad with Christ better because we are more aware of it. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I mean, it's like, hey, I had any number of people, including my mother, tell me, you weren't so bad, Roger. Well, compared to what? A serial killer? You know? Rapist? Compared to them, yeah, I wasn't so bad. But for me, I've got to look and say, hey, that's where I was headed. I mean, but for the grace of God, I could have got there. If we don't realize that for the grace of God, there's no limit to what we could sink, we'll never be as thankful as we can be for being close. And we'll never have the compassion for others or the desire to see them close to God. We can't just get close to God ourselves and say, well, I'm okay. We've got to realize the responsibility that we have to the rest of the world. That's why we need to get closer and closer and closer and closer to the Lord. Because the closer we are to the Lord, the more He manifests Himself in our lives and through our lives, and the more we will be a picture to others who are looking. And folks, there are people looking, and it is nothing compared to what it's going to be. There are going to be people looking like crazy. There are going to be. We need to get ready. We've talked about this for years. And you know, with the Lord, 1,000 years is a day. And if all we're doing is getting ready and we all go to heaven before it happens, we will have at least shoveled a path for other people to follow. Somebody will have seen, you know something? There's an advantage to being closer and closer and closer and closer to God. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to God. May they bring glory to God. We've got to get closer to Him and closer to Him and realize we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility, and it's not a burden, man. It's life. It is life. It is in Him. If we just come to the understanding, not only that He cares, but as we get closer and closer to Him, we realize, man, you know something? Really, You are life, Lord. Compared to You, nothing else is really that important. I can be a great husband to my wife as long as I know that she's not as important as God. And she doesn't want me to make her more important than God, because if I make her more important than God, we are headed for a train wreck. I've got to stay close to God to have the life that God wants me to have. You've got to stay close to God to have the life God wants you to have. And He wants you to have life because people who have life can give life. A guy that's in jail, that's accused of attempted murder and kidnapping and all that kind of stuff, he said to me, you know, there was something about you the first time I saw you. I said, there had to be Jesus. Because there's nothing about me personally. If there is, I want to be rid of it. That causes you desire. And yet it's Christ in me. And so it was Christ flowing out that could touch his life. And draw him closer to and remind him of the things that he heard as a child. Oh, my grandmother used to tell me about this stuff. And so God provides him the opportunity to stir that up, but he has to make a choice to get closer to God and stay closer to God, not just get closer to God and hope he gets out of this and then go his own way. You know, We can use and we can abuse God because He is so loving and so caring. All those times in my life before I came to know Him, that I would say, "Oh God, help me get out of this one." I believe He answered me. I believe He did. Even knowing that more than likely, what I said I would do if He got me out of that one, I wouldn't keep the promise. Just the fact that I called meant something to Him. Just the fact that people call means that they still have an awareness that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But the ideal is that we call and then we keep coming and then we keep getting closer and then we become more dependent. That's what He's shooting for. But He's perfectly, He is, and I know some people say, "Oh, that God wouldn't do that because He knows." He doesn't mind being used. He's not insecure. He's confident in His love. It won't bother Him. He makes the rain fall on the wicked and the righteous. He just wants people to come. He just wants people to get closer. And so it's a good cry from the heart of a Christian to say, "Lord, I need to get closer. Because the closer I get, the more understanding I'll have. The closer I'll get, the more confidence I'll have, the more faith I'll have. And the more faith that I have, guess what happens? It releases the blessing and the wisdom of God. It releases those promises of God because we trust. When Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side," He intended for them to go to the other side. He didn't say, "We'll go to the other side unless a storm comes up." He said, "We're going to the other side." And He was so sure they would get to the other side. And God probably, you know, they knew before they got in the boat there's going to be a storm. And Jesus said, "Well, I think I'll just rest up." He was confident in God. He went to sleep. But did He remove Himself from them? Did He forget about them? Did He become distant from them? No, He was just as close as the mention of His name. He never left them or forsook them. He rested. He rested in the Father and He rested for them. And when they came to Him, if they just would have understood, "Wait a minute, He said, let's go to the other side. He must be able to handle this," instead of being afraid. Because He said, "Why were you afraid? How could you be afraid? Have I been with you this long and you still don't see?" Now, He didn't say that here. He said that in another place. But it all applies. He said, "If I've been with you this long and you still don't understand that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? Have I been with you this long? Have I been with you this long and you forgot everything that I've already done and you doubted for a minute that I couldn't handle this too? Just because you've never seen me handle it doesn't mean that I can't handle it. If you'll just stay close, you just won't doubt. You'll say, 'Whoa, God can handle it.'" I told Jordan once when he first deployed, I told him, I said, "I will not worry about you," and that's what I tell everybody else. I will not worry and I will not fear. Because I will not give the enemy an opportunity to have a problem. I will simply rest in the Lord. I refuse to fear. Otherwise, if I'm going to fear, I may as well not pray. And so that's what he tells everybody. When they say to him, "You must be worried," he says, "Well, you know what? My dad says that he won't worry about me because he wants his prayers to be answered. So don't you worry about me either. Don't make any holes in my armor by worry." Because he knows the Lord is on his side. That's what Jesus was saying to us when he said that to them. Let those who have ears to hear, hear what the Spirit of the Lord says. God said, why were you worried? Why were you afraid? We can take that to the bank in our own lives. When we begin to pray and suddenly we find ourselves over here worrying about something else and we say, how did I get here? And we say, wait a minute, Lord, you said, why would I worry? Why would I be afraid? If we come to the understanding that each breath that we take because He gave us life, that sort of simplifies things. Because if I quit breathing, I got nothing to worry about. And as long as I am breathing, I got something to be thankful for. I like it here. And I don't intend to leave here until the Lord says, you can come now. And I don't believe anything can take me away until the Lord says, you can come now. I think there's lots of opportunities to leave. I think there's lots of things that the enemy tries to say. I can't tell you how many times I've walked through that door to come here and pray, and the devil said, I'm going to kill you today. One of these days, I'll knock you down those stairs and you'll hit your head on the concrete at the bottom. Well, we know that's a joke. That could never hurt me. My head certainly wouldn't crack just at concrete. I am hard-headed. Absolutely. My wife is just biting her tongue not to say amen. So anyway, closer and closer and closer. That's where we need to go. Amen?